no conflicts to declare, but I don't have that special slide. So what I'm going to be talking about is a basic income program and what its effect is on Canadian seniors' health and mental health. I really want to acknowledge that I work with a group of economists as well as others in the community health sciences on this topic, and you'll see why and how they contribute. So I think Canada's quite proud of its record in terms of elder poverty. So we used to have one of the highest rates of seniors' poverty in the world, and we now are among the very lowest rates of poverty among individuals that are age 65 and over. It's only 6%, so of all the OECD countries, it really is one of the lowest. And we think we've achieved that through the implementation of a major social safety net called the Old Age Security and the Guaranteed Income Supplement Program. So this is equivalent to a guaranteed annual income. The dollar value is actually relatively modest. For full receipt, it's only $15,700 Canadian a year, and our dollar is just a little bit lower than the United States. So you can see it's a modest amount of money. So that's the proposition, is that we have this guaranteed annual income in the way of this seniors benefit, and that it's actually reduced poverty. Also we know, and that's why you're here, that aging is a time of declining health and also mental health. And there also, because of the natural aging process in addition, we also have consumption of healthcare resources. Poverty is really bad for health, and so it exacerbates health problems. Our basic income is a demigrant, and I think it's important because in the United States, there's a Social Security, which you earn through the kind of employment contributions you make over time. We have a Canada Pension Plan as well. So what I'm talking about is a demigrant, which means it's a universal grant to every individual on the basis of basically being age 65. So when your birthday card comes, you are then eligible. Okay, so it's a universal demigrant. So it doesn't have anything to do with your previous employment or anything like that. Now we've got some changes all over the world. We've been hearing about the increase in retirement age in Europe, and in Canada it's no less. We have recently instituted a legislative change to move from age 65 to 67, and it'll be moving later than that, which will mean that individuals in the future will not be able to receive their birthday card and their guaranteed annual income at age 65. They'll have to wait a few more years, up to even age 70. So the question is that this is likely to perpetuate poverty among those that don't receive this. And the question then for you and for us here is that, can we make a health case for basic income among seniors? So the purpose of this study is to determine the impact on self-reported health and self-reported mental health of persons who become age eligible, age 65, for the Canadian version of a basic income program. So I think we all appreciate self-reported health and self-reported mental health are very robust as predictors, so I don't believe I have to justify that. So the Canadian Community Health Survey is a large national cross-sectional representation of Canadians. 65,000 Canadians of all adult ages are regularly examined for their health and sociodemographic status. So I was able to use the microdata, which is the very fine protected data, to do this study. We took two age-eligible groups that are above the age 65, so 65 to 69 and 70 to 74, and then we took two age groups that were near eligibility for the guaranteed income, those that are 55 to 59 and those that are 60 to 64. For the purposes of this simulation of what the effect of basic income is on health and mental health, we took individuals that were living alone and their annual household income was less than $20,000 Canadian per year. Extremely low income, but you see, still higher than the nominal basic income. Food security status, measured by the Household Food Security Survey Module, which is used, I think, everywhere, but particularly it's the metric in Canada and the United States, was used as a non-income measure of poverty. And that's actually important because this population has very low income. So now to differentiate among the poor and the deprived, more deprived poor by food insecurity is actually quite interesting. Also, the Household Food Security Survey Module adult scale is true for an individual because when they live alone, and therefore, while it's a household measure, it's helpful to use it in this situation. We wanted to look at the main income source, self-reported health and mental health, and then you'll see a series of logistic regressions and a probate estimation, again, which the economists like, but I'll explain for you. Let me tell you what we found, and then I'll show you. So we found very dramatic shift that after the age of 65, the basic income is actually the main, by far, the main income source. So very important that this is how their income shifts when they turn 65 from other sources. We found a drop of food insecurity over 50%. So over 50% effect size in food insecurity after age 65 than before. We found not only improved health and mental health, but it was sustained until they were 74 years of age, better than when they were age 55. And so this amounted to, despite 10 years of aging, there was a 14.9% reduction in the self-reported poor or fair health. You can imagine self-reported health is reported as excellent, very good, good, and then fair and poor were combined, and almost a 9% reduction in self-reported poor and fair mental health. And that was entirely attributable to basic income. So let's look at some of these results. So the gray bars are the seniors' benefits from basic income. You can see that there's a variety of sources of income for those that are under age 65. And so they have a little bit of employment, lots and lots of social assistance, which is that orangey type bar. There's a scattering of seniors' benefits, kind of spousal things, some provincial stuff, sometimes some work-related stuff. So these are kind of a potpourri of things, and then a few other aspects. After 65, you see that this employment, the social assistance disappears, and by far, almost 90% of individuals who came from this group of being poor, adults living alone, have that as their income source, as the senior benefit, as in the basic income. What happened to food insecurity? So again, the first two sets of bars are all the food insecurity rates for those that were having no basic income. And so you can see the food insecurity rate, depending on your level, where your source of income would be over 55%. So those people 55 to 59 in the orange bar, you know, you're seeing about 55% of those individuals are food insecure, measuring out of the metric, a little bit better. So we got very high rates, and even these kind of potpourri seniors types of things that go on really don't reduce the rates much below 30%. In contrast, then you see the gray bar is the basic income, and you can see that we never reach 15% food insecurity in this population after they turn 65, and if they are still trying to get their documentation for seniors' benefits, or if they're an immigrant and don't get it, then they've got these ridiculously high 55% social assistance rates. So dramatic reduction in food insecurity from that source. So this table I will walk you through. So let's just look at all of the individuals in terms of self-reported health and self-reported mental health. And just looking down, you can see that we begin with 40% of individuals 55 to 59 having self-reported health that's fair or poor, and it goes down to 31.5% and only goes up to 35.7%, never reaches the same level even at age 74 as it was before. Mental health is even more impressive. 21.6% of this poor adult population age 55 to 59 had self-reported poor or fair mental health, and it goes down to 7.7, just complete decline after receiving their birthday card. Even for the individuals that we found to be food insecure, so living in harder times, you can see that they had higher rates starting out, and they all came down again in the same kind of pattern, particularly very, very impressive mental health and findings. So overall, there is actually, you know, again, very significant improvements in self-reported health and mental health. For even the most deprived groups, as shown by being food insecure, and those that are just like really poor. so the this is the, we ran models and models and models, and so I think what I want to point out on this table of the variety of models is that income per se isn't making a difference. So splitting the income, you know, 10 to 14, 9, 15 to 99, income per se is not making the difference. It's income source that's making a difference. And when you take a probit, you see that when your income source is social assistance or welfare, minus the income source being basic income, 0.459 minus 0.310 equals 14.9%. That's the effect size, what we call the marginal effects attributable to the income source change for this population and because of their age eligibility. And the same thing happens, 0.111 minus 0.0243, 8.7% effect size with no contribution to the actual income itself. So the effect is on the income source and not on income. A little bit of male, which is what you'd expect to see in some of the mental health reports. So that's actually a very important finding. So when we look at income support schemes for near seniors, and you saw there was a potpourri of things that people were receiving, they're not effective in reducing poverty if you measure it through food insecurity as the more universal scheme, which for those over 65. And the reason, one of the reasons might be that the scheme over age 65 is done in a completely tax-blind way. Basically, your social assistance number is what triggers the check. There's no means testing, there's no assessment, there's no asset test, there's nobody involved in your lives. It's completely, you know, blind to whether or not you're deserving of such funds as opposed to other schemes. So the policy, therefore, I think I've been able to persuade you that when you raise the age entitlement from 65 to 67 and on, you are just going to be guaranteeing a perpetuation of not only poverty, but ill health and mental health and the costs that are accompanied to that. And food insecurity will absolutely continue if we don't have the basic income for this group. Obviously, you can do cost-benefit analyses. These effect size, I'd be bold enough to say that this will be showing that it's cost-beneficial, because that's only the health side. Imagine all the other types of benefits that come from not living in that kind of despair. So the question is also, as kind of an experiment, is how far up the income scale would basic income assist? Would it assist in $30,000 a year? Would it assist in couples that are having perhaps a $30,000 a year income? So there's actually a lot more experimentation you could do to see when you would get a trade-off in terms of the basic income and what level you would it would actually still provide a health benefit. The other is to is whether or not we shouldn't extend our benefit. It looks as if this group of age 55-year-olds, you know, would actually get benefit from extending it down on the age scale. And of course, there is a whole campaign for the basic income guarantee in Canada for all the population, not just the seniors. So the hypothesis around just quickly around why basic income is actually potent is that it completely stabilizes income as opposed to creating shocks in income. Having to borrow at the end of the month, etc. And that kind of stability gives you better creditworthiness and better purchasing power and better ability to budget. So there is a limitation to this study. It is cross-sectional data. I would say, though, that every age group had almost the exact same N, meaning there wasn't a huge shift of people going out when they retired into another group. And whether or not this type of a pension strategy would actually be generalizable to other countries. So basic income has a pronounced effect on reduced food insecurity among seniors. Among the lowest near income, near seniors and seniors in Canada, its delivery mode and its small incremental income over other social benefits, I think I've demonstrated, yields very impressive gains in health and mental health, likely to be cost-saving, if not a fair price, even for enhanced dignity and quality of life. And this is a very large programmatic grant on looking at policy interventions for food insecurity funded by our Canadian Institutes of Health Research. Thank you. So thank you. I think we have time for a few questions. And you can watch like 3 or 4 minutes for questions. Or maybe, are there any questions, by the way? Yes, hi. So 15,700 divided by 12, yeah, by 12 months is a little bit over like $1,300, $1,400 a month. So it's actually quite, it's quite minimal. But the issue is the stabilizing effect of income, and also again the, probably the dignity of this tax blind way of receiving it, a tax system. Yes. Yes, yeah, so they will, they'll stop the other income sources. On the other hand, there are other invisible that are not so seen. So as soon as you're 65, you also are eligible now for a free drug plan, the Medicare program for the for our seniors. You end up getting lower transportation costs. You get the seniors pass from transportation. So they're actually, one of the arguments here is that this whole age of 65 concept is actually giving advantage. Some of them are direct income, some of them are just reduced costs. But otherwise you don't get access to any of these other programs. No, it replaces them. Which is why I think it's really nice to show this bundle of programs that don't have that much difference in the actual income they're providing are actually, because of their delivery mode, it doesn't actually have the same results as you'd want. No, I mean, you basically show identification when you buy your transit pass. When you go to a when you go to a movie theater, you don't even, you could show your identification or not. So, but they're all just done. I mean, even the seniors' day at the pharmacies for 20% off on Wednesdays to buy toilet paper. So much of it is just because we have quite a pro-senior society, and so those are all benefits. I want to underscore those benefits are not the same as getting a basic income, but I think we do see a pro-senior society in terms of those types of things. The drugs plan, again, everything's done automatically because we all, we have your social insurance number and your health number. It's universal health care, so it's just automatic. You don't enroll for that.